listening to the Survival in Motion podcast. Learn, adapt, prepare, survive.
There was that time when the Colgate company decided to sell frozen foods. Yeah, Colgate, that company that sells toothpaste. They put their toothpaste logo on a bunch of frozen food in your grocery store and in TV dinners. And like you could buy Colgate brand frozen lasagna. That was a pretty dumb idea. There was the Coca-Cola company that throughout the 80s, I think, just had a couple of really bad ideas adopted on a grand scale. I didn't think New Coke was that bad, but New Coke in retrospect is seen as a really bad, boneheaded idea. I think this is the dumbest idea I've seen in corporate America in a long time, and that's saying a lot, is when Coca-Cola bought Columbia Pictures. You're a soft drink company. Why would you buy a movie studio? Well, the thinking was they want to diversify. No. See, diversify, that's like when a toothpaste company buys maybe a mouthwash company, and then they kind of work out some kind of symmetry, like the mouthwash flavored toothpaste or something. That's kind of diversification that kind of makes sense, but not when a soft drink company buys a movie studio. I mean, unless you're trying to say, well, every movie produced by that movie studio was going to have a bottle of Coke there or something. I mean, that didn't make sense. Anyway, these are examples, and there are many others, of really, really bad ideas adopted on a grand scale. I think they even pale in comparison to this idea that's sweeping the country of abolishing the police departments or severely defunding the police departments in your local cities. It's the stupidest, most boneheaded idea I've heard adopted on a grand scale in, I think, my whole lifetime. It's really, really dumb. One police officer kills a black guy, and it was annoying to see that video. I watched that video, and I thought, what the hell? The guy's in handcuffs. Just put him in your back of your car and take him to jail. But no, the guy had to kneel on his neck for 8 minutes or something. It was a real outrage that that happened at all. So the protests break out, the rioting, the looting, and now the movement comes to defund and abolish police departments. And it's actually gaining steam, if you can believe it. The polling I've seen is 65%, give or take, against the idea. 15% is in favor of it. My question is, what about the extra 20%? Well, I think they're probably no's too, but they're probably like, oh, you're kidding, right? Well, apparently not. So on a grand scale, the movement to abolish police departments is actually catching on. It's one of these things that makes me think we're living in crazy times, or am I the crazy one who thinks this is just flat out awful? The argument is, oh, well, there are some racist and corrupt and bad police officers out there. Really? I mean, dude, you're just now noticing this? I mean, you're just now realizing that there are some bad police officers out there? I mean, where have you been? I can say, as a former prosecutor, as a defense attorney now, by and large, the vast majority of police officers are good people. They're professional. They're not homicidal. And they're not racist. Did I say all of them? No, because there are some bad police officers. There always have been, and there always will be some bad police officers out there. That's just a fact of life. But I still stand by this statement that the vast majority of police officers are professional. They mean well. They're not racist, and they're not homicidal. Okay, so these people say, oh, there's one or two bad ones, so let's completely abolish all of them. Man, I mean, that's like if you've ever been in a foreign country where you're never really sure about the police department, this will be even worse than that, like Mogadishu or something, or some parts of Mexico. It's a profoundly boneheaded idea, and it's a real travesty that so many people are falling for this idea. It's just crazy. I mean, the rich parts of town will probably hire their own private security forces, so they'll probably do okay. the poor parts of town are going to be like war zones. And if your thinking is that, well, some police officers are racist, so let's do away with all police officers. The bad parts of town, that's mostly minority neighborhoods, and they're going to be in awful shape. And I can say this, the city of Minneapolis is pretty much on its way to join other cities like Baltimore, St. Louis, Chicago, Baltimore, you know, that had a pretty consistent homicide rate of 200 homicides a year until right around 2015, whenever that Freddie Gray, I think it was, the guy killed by the police officers, or I should say died in their custody, a number of police officers were charged with having anything to do with his killing. And to his credit, there was a lot of these trials. In fact, I think all of them were held in front of an African-American judge, just as a court trial, meaning that jury was waived. And this is one example of a judge doing the right thing. He just said, no, there's no evidence. The fact that this guy was being transported from point A to point B, and then he was found at point B to be deceased, does not mean that all these police officers killed him somehow. Let's hear your case. You have no case. So that was great. It's actually possible for a judge to do the right thing on occasion. But anyway, I think that's the most boneheaded idea I've heard about adopted on a mass scale in my lifetime is this abolish the police. It's extremely stupid. I do have one proposal. A few nights ago, I was watching this documentary, America in Color, and it was the decade of the 20s when everybody was buying Ford Model Ts. And there were a few newsreels that showed, I think it was downtown New York, but whatever, it was a downtown city somewhere where it was a complete madhouse, you know, who was driving where. And I think they were all driving on the right anyway, but because even horse and buggies were doing that in America. But there was no rhyme or reason about who would stop and who would go at what intersection. So all of a sudden, streetlights were invented. And then it showed the downtown city where there were streetlights, you know, the green for this way and red for that way. So you guys had to stop. And it kind of made sense. In the documentary, it was treated as kind of just a rite of passage. Cars are becoming more prevalent, so we need to develop ways that cars will accommodate each other and do so safely. So that got me thinking. It seems like protests nowadays, more and more, they involve people streaming out into the street or a highway and stopping traffic. And apparently, sidewalks are just not good enough. You can't protest enough just standing on a sidewalk with a sign. You have to go stop traffic. So while there is already kind of a common law agreed principle that if you are in danger, you can protect yourself and get out of the danger, whatever the situation is, that's called common law. I think it's time that we specify and make specific laws on the books as to what situation will allow a motorist to drive through and at what speed limit to drive through a crowd of protesters, because this is becoming more and more prevalent where protesters go out onto the street or on the highway and they block traffic. And occasionally they come across a car and they decide to smash it. And if the person is really unlucky, then they pull that person out of the car and stomp on them. And that person is almost killed and so forth. I think it's become just a rite of passage in our country now where we need to specify in what situation and under what circumstances a person can drive through protesters. And I think it's going to have to be along the lines of subjectively, the driver felt in danger for their life. And also that feeling was objectively reasonable, which means that it's not just you, the paranoid driver, it's anybody in that situation would have felt that their life was in danger. So assuming those two are in place, then you can drive through the crowd in front of you. And under what circumstances, you know, the different states can specify. You have to, you know, honk a couple times. You can drive no more than, say, 10 or 15 miles an hour. That way, people can safely get out of the way or whatever. But I think this idea of, oh, there's a protest forming in the street ahead, I have to come to a full stop and I can't drive through at all, I think that's just got to go. A protest is fine so long as it's on the sidewalk. There's something inherently dangerous nowadays about a protest, an angry protest, streaming out into the highway or the street and angrily yelling at drivers. And if you don't take my word for it, let's ask Reginald Denny, the truck driver who was in the wrong place at the wrong time in Los Angeles in 1991 during those riots. And he did just what is the normal, humane, peace-loving thing to do. He pulled his truck up and he came to a complete stop in the middle of this riot. And because he didn't want to kill anybody, he didn't want to endanger anybody who was blocking his way in the roadway. Well, what happened to him was he was yanked out of his cab and beaten up by a whole bunch of people and left for dead. I think it was a few minutes or maybe a couple hours later that somebody said, oh, I think that guy is still alive. And he was brought to the hospital by some good Samaritan. And he now has brain damage and he's a mess. So let's just remember what happened to him. Reginald Denny is his name. And that's why I say it's inherently dangerous for protesters to go out into the street or a highway. Even worse than that, there was a group of protesters in Lansing, Michigan, who blocked a certain intersection. And they said, no drivers are allowed through here. And they actually had guns with them. And some motorcyclists came up and said, hey, I've got to go home. I've got to go through this intersection and go that way. And one of the protesters pointed a gun at him and said, no, you're not going through this intersection. We're protesting here. You have to go some other way. And the motorcyclist said, wait, hey, you know, the police know what you guys are doing? And the protester said, yeah, the police are right over there. They're just watching all this. Now, I hope that what's going to happen is a week or two from now, the police are going to issue some arrest warrants. I can't believe they were just sitting there watching all this instead of arresting people. But apparently that's the status of policing nowadays. There's no rule that a felony committed has to be arrested right then and there. So it could be that a week or two from now, there's going to be an arrest warrant for assault with a deadly weapon felony against these protesters who were pointing guns at people who just wanted to get home. Anyway, back to my proposal. It needs to be specified in the law books, not only that there's a general common law right of self-defense when you reasonably feel that you're in danger. There needs to be specific laws on the books saying when you are a driver and the road in front of you is clogged by a bunch of protesters, and you feel that your life is in danger, and this is reasonable belief, then you can drive 10, 15, 20. You know, there might be some states that say you don't have to even tap on the brake pedal. You can just plow through. But it's up to the different states to do it in different ways. I think the days of just you have to come to a full stop, that's not right. That's not right. It's inherently dangerous for people to storm out into the highway. So I have that specific proposal that I think our states should take up and specify when and how and under what circumstances they can drive through a crowd. Another thing I wanted to mention, and this is a criticism of our media or news reporting, is ever since this happened, this killing of the black guy in Minneapolis at the end of May, it started off Black Lives Matter, mostly black people protesting. It's now gone way beyond that. And I think the idea of George Floyd, I think is his name, if you bring that up to the protesters nowadays, they'd say, who? Wait, who are you talking about? No, they're not here to protest any kind of police brutality against African Americans. No, now it's just an anarchy thing. And they're here to topple statues, destroy whatever they can, because it's just an anarchist, anti-American thing. And my criticism of the media is that when you watch all the news coverage of all this, and this is even Fox News, is that it seems like there's no perspective. You watch the news and all this is covered and you just think, oh, this is the end of the world. when it's not, because stuff like this has happened before. And I wish that our news media would cover this and say, you know, this also happened a few years ago or a few decades ago. Here's some film footage of that, and just kind of put it in perspective so that the viewer doesn't leave thinking, okay, this is the end of the world, you know, because it's not. These are dangerous times we're living in, but we've been through this before. And I'm almost tempted to just say, watch the news maybe once a week or maybe not at all. Here's my only reservation. And let me back up for a second. At our Bible study in our church, there's a woman in, I'd say, her 40s or 50s, single woman, lives alone, fair-skinned, I'd say maybe 110 pounds, blonde hair. One day recently at Bible study, she showed up and just said, look, I can't really read along, you know, because we read different passages and goes around the room, that kind of thing. She said, I'll just be here and just listen. You know, I'm not really going to participate. And through some diplomatic questioning as to why not, it came out that a few weekends before, she was in the proverbial wrong place at the wrong time. She, I think around 9 p.m., went to a grocery store, and she was coming out of the grocery store with her groceries, and there was one of these protests, and she was just doing her best to get to her car, and a big mob started beating on her, and next thing she knew, she woke up in the hospital with a collapsed lung, and it sounds like she has a few broken ribs. Now, she survived, but that's what's happening nowadays, is people have nothing to do with anything, just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, are getting beat up, and their lives are being endangered. And by the way, if you think, well, I'm not a white person, maybe I'm in the clear. No, this is happening to all people of all skin colors. There's that guy, David Dorn, I think his name was, just a great retired police officer, African-American. I think it was Philadelphia. I could be wrong, but he was a security guard for a pawn shop when one of these riots came through. And several people broke into the pawn shop and shot this guy, David Dorn. And I think he was like 75 years old or something. And his photo when he retired from the police a few years ago just showed a really nice guy. You see that photo and you just know what a great friend to other people, what a great police officer, what a great father and grandfather he was. Well, this guy was shot in that pawn shop, and his final few moments were videotaped live on Facebook Live for everybody's entertainment. I just think that was just awful what happened to him and what happened to our friend at Bible study. So it's not just white people. It's everybody. Everybody is in danger around one of these mobs. So that's why I say your peace of mind will be a lot better off if you don't watch the news, because nothing is kept in perspective. But it is good to know if the news is reporting where the latest mob violence is happening, and you can avoid that area. Let me tell you, I've got a permit to carry a concealed weapon, and I do carry a concealed weapon. But if I can avoid a life or death situation, I will. And if I see that a mob is forming wherever, I'll just turn around and leave. Now, if the life or death situation keeps following me, then I can protect myself. But I would just rather not even be there. And all of our family members, I tell them the same thing. Just steer clear of it. Stay away from it. If you're driving in a highway and it's now blocked by a bunch of angry protesters, just back up to the latest exit and leave that area. Police are not going to pull you over for backing up on a highway or a shoulder or whatever. Police generally are not doing anything during these protests. So just get out. Get out of the area and stay aware of where the mobs might be. The other day I was driving by a protest. This was a strange one. It was like 50 and 60 something people. And they all looked pretty well educated and fairly well off. And I just thought, before this year, I would have thought that's a totally harmless protest. But nowadays, you never know. The 20-something college students who are filled with anger from having read that Howard Zinn book, I can't remember the name, all it takes is a few of them to get things started. And next thing you know, a peaceful protest turns into a riot. So I saw that group of, they looked like older parents or grandparents even. I just saw that crowd and I thought, nope, I'm staying away from that crowd. That could become dangerous. Another thing I wanted to mention just as I close here is stay well armed and make sure you've got a lot of ammo when you are in the process of possibly having to defend yourself with a firearm. Don't forget ear protection, because guns of all kinds are extremely loud and you've got to watch your ears, you know, cover them up. Have those little orange things you can kind of roll up in between your fingers and put in your ears. Protect your ears. Here's another thing, not only guns, but it seems like nowadays Molotov cocktails are the rage. So it might be the thing to start stocking up on fire extinguishers and beef up your water supply around the house. Maybe put up a water tank so that if your house gets lit on fire, that you can put out the fire somehow. I think that's kind of a new chapter in survivalism, at least in the suburbs and inner city in America today, is watch out for fires. And you cannot count on firemen to do their job. And this is really unfortunate. Firemen used to be held up as these are good people. Everybody likes a fireman. Well, no longer. I mean, a fire truck trying to get through a mob, it's not going to end well. And I'll never forget hearing about, I think it was an orphanage being built during the first nights of these riots that was set on fire. And if it's the same situation I'm thinking about, the mob actually stopped the fire truck from getting there. So that's where we're at right now. Anyway, I hope you have found today's episode of the Survival in Motion podcast educational and informative. I hear the music, so that means our time is up. Thank you for joining me. God bless.